And while he's doing that, if you are from kindergarten through seventh grade, I suppose, if you were at Vacation Bible School this year, could you please stand up wherever you are? Okay. This year, the VBS offering project was for the Self family. It was to raise money for their children's ministries, and the offering was able to bring in $827.70. These kids and the other children brought that in.
Thank you.
Well, you guys can have a seat. Thank you. Andrew's going to open the word for us and preach during this hour, and then in the Sunday school hour immediately following, he's going to present about their ministry and tell us what God's doing there in Argentina through the Selfs. So,
okay. Thank you. Good morning. First of all, thank you very much. This will be a great help. We're renovating, I guess, some of the children's rooms that we have, and also we're going to be doing our own VBS in February. I know you guys don't do it in February, but we're in summer at that time, so we'll be using that for those, and we appreciate that very much. I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Just so you know, this is my first church on this furlough, so I got to adjust from Spanish into English, so that's why we're doing that. You laugh, but it's real. It's true. You got to adjust to that. But I am glad to be here with you this morning. I always have fond memories of this church. 21 years ago, and some people don't want to think about 21 years ago, but 21 years ago, you guys took me in for a whole summer here. I was only 17 at that time, but you took me in for 3 months, and I have lots of great memories. Went to New York on a mission trip with some of the youth and the leaders, and did all kinds of extra things as well, but had a great time and have great memories. I always tell my wife about the great time I had here, and how everybody was ready to get me out of here after the summer was over. So, but it was a great time. Also, we're very thankful for you as a church. You've now supported our family, my parents for, I think, over 30 years almost, and you've supported our family, my wife and I, for the last 12 years, and we really appreciate that. In the Sunday school, I'll be able to share a little bit more, but whatever the Lord's doing down there, you guys play a big part in that ministry. I also, and I need to say this, I'm very thankful for when you guys pray for us. We get a card. I don't know how often, but we get a card very often, more often than anybody else that sends mail to us, signed with all your names that you're praying for us. And we know that it's not just a signature. You're sitting there praying for the needs that we have there in Argentina, and we're very thankful for that as well. So continue to do that. We need that, and the Lord works through prayer. So we're very thankful for that. I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verse 28 and 29. This is not a normal missionary message. It goes very well with what we were singing today. And it really tells us about the gospel ministry here. But not as a missionary, as every single person and the role they play in sharing the gospel with others. As you're turning there, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28, 29, let me just tell you a few differences from Argentina and the United States. A missionary, for example, will face different things each day when they arrive on the field. A missionary arrives on the field in Argentina, they have to speak Spanish right away. Today you can get away with a little English, but usually you have to know Spanish. I remember a missionary arrived on the field about 10 years ago, and he was a really nice guy, very funny. And so he wanted to be really cool in Argentina, so he bought a book of Argentinian sayings, okay? And he went with this big book that he bought with all the Argentine sayings of the moment, and he went to a youth conference, and he brought up the book, and he said, and he started saying all these weird sayings. I don't even know him, but he knew him. He was this cool missionary. The thing was, one of the differences is you don't know the language very well. On the top of the book, on the cover, there was a swear word on it. That was part of the sayings. And so this missionary took this book to a conference, a youth conference, with the swear word. So we laughed about that for a while, and he had to apologize. And he was learning Spanish. So one of the differences is missionaries don't usually know what's going on with the languages and the sayings themselves. When you buy a car in Argentina, they tell you, okay, the car is ready for you. All you have to do is pay. And so you deposit all your money into this bank account, and they give you this little slip of paper. And they say, in 3 weeks, you'll have your car. And so 3 weeks later, you get your brand new car after you paid, and you're a little nervous. That's very different. I think here you get it in the moment, right? Is that right? Okay, just wait 3 weeks. Customs there are different. We say hi with a kiss on the cheek. We say hi. And you might say, well, boys and girls, that's fine. But boys and boys say hi with a kiss on the cheek. That's a normal way to say hi. Christmas. Christmas is in the summertime. I was here for the 4th of July. I was down in Florida. And Christmas is very similar to 4th of July. We throw fireworks and everything and enjoy a nice, hot summer Christmas. And we eat the meal at around 10 o'clock at night. Fellowship at church. Fellowship at church. We end the service after the preacher preaches for an hour and a half, right? Amen. Amen. Yeah, I only heard one amen. We usually go for about an hour, hour and a half preaching. And then after the service is over, we fellowship for about an hour. Because that's just the normal culture there. You just sit there and you talk about everything that's going on in your life, and we enjoy spending time, but it usually lasts about an hour more. We're trying to turn off the lights and close the door so that we can get going. If you've ever been to a different country, and Argentina is just like this, driving is always fun. There's no real rules. They have rules written down, but it basically is like this. The largest vehicle has the right-of-way all the time. The largest vehicle has the right-of-way. And so it's very different. There are things you have to adjust. There's insecurities. There's thefts. There's different family functions. But in all those differences, I don't want to really just talk about Argentina. In all those differences, there's one thing that remains the same between the U.S., Argentina, and all over the world. And that is the ministry of the gospel. We don't have to take a different message to Argentina. You don't have to take the message we take to Argentina, well, you do, to everywhere, because it's the same gospel ministry that we have. Now, Paul here in Colossians chapter 1 is talking to the believers in Colossae, and basically they've misinterpreted how to have a good relationship with the Lord. And he wants to clarify and say it is through Jesus Christ that you have the relationship with God. Let's see, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29 says, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the gospel ministry. We thank you, Lord, as we're going to study this passage, we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross for us. Lord, we thank you because really what we deserve is hell. We deserve to be separated from you for all eternity. And yet you loved us and you gave your life on the cross for our sins so that we might believe and be saved. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray now that you will bless this time as we study your word, that we will understand the gospel ministry, that we will take it to others who have not heard in Argentina, in all of South America, in Europe, all across the world, here in Sandusky as well. Lord, that we might be faithful in sharing the gospel with others. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this gospel ministry, and we're going to look at four things in this passage. Number one is the subject of our ministry. Who it is that we're preaching. Look at verse 28. It says, whom we preach. Now, in verse 27, it tells us, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The person we preach is Christ. Now, churches today like to preach about a lot of things, and many churches, good churches, Bible-preaching churches, do not preach Christ like they should. They've neglected to preach Christ. They preach about problems, how not to be depressed, how to deal with stress, how to be whatever it is. You can fill in the blanks. Those things aren't bad if we're looking at the Word of God, but they have lost their Christ-centeredness when they're preaching. Paul comes to the Colossians, and the Colossians are dealing with misinterpreting the Word of God and how to get to the Lord. They're trying to find their own way, and we're going to look at that in a moment. And Paul says, you don't need all that stuff. You need to preach Christ. Now, he tells them about Christ. If you go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and I'm going to go through this very quickly. You can read commentaries, big commentaries on this passage, because we have a lot of stuff here, but I'm just going to go through a few things. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 says, it's talking about Christ. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. See, when we see Jesus, we see God. He's the image. We don't see God. We're not able to see God. How do we get to know God? Through Jesus. So we study Christ. He's the image of the invisible God. Verse 16, for by him, by Christ, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. You know, today our world, and it happens here in the States and it happens in Argentina as well, they're trying to tell us that it came out of nothing. But Paul is saying Christ created everything we see. The wonderful things that we see, Christ was responsible for creating. It says all things were created by him and for him. You know, I go to a dentist there in Argentina, and I've shared the gospel with him several times. And every time he tries to explain to me how dentistry works and how bad my teeth are, right? But he tries to explain to me, and he always says to me, you know, it's so wonderful because Mother Nature did this and this and this so that your teeth would come out this way and grow. And it's so exciting to see that, he says to me. And I take a second, and I say, well, when he lets me breathe, you know, because he has all this stuff in my mouth, I say, well, Mother Nature didn't do that. Christ created everything we see. He created us. And he did it in a marvelous way. And scientists and dentists and different people try to tell you that it was just an accident. Mother Nature. They don't want to say Christ did it. Well, Paul says in the Word of God, he says, Christ created everything. Verse 17. And he is before all things, and by him all things consists. The idea here is that the word has several meanings, but it has, he established it, and he continues to hold the creation in its place. You know, if Jesus said, okay, I'm done, everything we know would disappear. But the idea of this verse is that not only did he create everything, he holds it where it is. He established it and continues to hold it where it is. I thought about a little Bible song that I used to sing. I don't know if you guys sang it here, but I used to sing it when I was a little kid. He's got the whole world in his hands. Have you ever heard that? Okay. Then MasterCard, I think, stole it and put it on a commercial. But he's got the whole world in his hands, and that's what Jesus is doing. Everything is in his hands. He has the power, but he also is holding the whole world and all of us in it because he in him all things consist. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He is the head of our church. We submit to him. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, I don't want to get into all the details of that. You can study it out on yourself, but the idea here is that everything in the universe, everything, God in the fullness is in Christ. What he's saying is he's the most powerful, obviously, because he's God, but he's the most powerful being, and everything that exists consists and is in Christ. Now, Colossians wanted to worship, they worshiped the creation. They worshiped angels. They worship different avenues to get to God. And they said, well, Christ doesn't meet the criteria to get to God. And Paul comes along and says, Christ is everything. He has the fullness of God. He is God. Why? Because it pleased the Father. Now, Christ then created everything, sustains everything, has all the powers, the head of the church. He has all the fullness of God in him. And you know what? We could just stop there and say, wow, he deserves to be worshipped. And he does. That's Christ. But verse 20, he says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He could have stopped and said, I'm God. I have the fullness of God in me. And what did he do? He came down to earth. He lived a perfect life. Went to a cross that he didn't have to go to. Gave his life so that our sins, our rebellion, our separation from God, because our sin separates us from God, and we were born that way. But he did all those things so that we could be reconciled with God, so that we could be saved, is what we call it, so that we could be forgiven, so that our sins, really, they don't disappear because the Lord paid for them, but the Lord no longer sees our sins. He sees what Christ did for us. And he says we were alienated, enemies of God, and yet he gave his life so that we could be saved, reconciled with the Lord. Now that's the subject of our ministry. If you're sharing the gospel with somebody and you're not talking about this Christ, then you're not sharing the gospel. I had a lady come to me once. She was teaching in a public school, and they had this soap opera in Argentina that was called The Ten Commandments. Okay, I don't know what it was about. Supposedly some Bible story. I never watched it. But she came to me and she said, I was in class. You need to hear this story. I had 30 students, and I was sharing the gospel with them. I was like, well, that's exciting. You know, tell me about it. Well, I told them about this soap opera that's on TV that's called The Ten Commandments. I think it was something about Moses. And I said, well, did you share about Christ? Well, you know, I can't talk about that. I talked about Moses. I talked about the Ten Commandments. And I said, well, you didn't really share the gospel. You didn't share about Christ. See, today, I think Satan enjoys this. We all talk about a lot of things with other people. A lot of us talk about politics. That's a big issue right now, I know. I'm living politics in Argentina, which is very similar to here, and politics in the U.S. And sometimes we defend politics, and we talk about politics more than talking about Christ. And really, I don't want to offend anybody, but who cares about politics really at the end of the day? Because what we should care about is sharing Christ with others. I was thinking about this in Argentina. We're big on sports. I love watching sports. My dad was from Michigan, so I'm a big Michigan fan. And every time we beat Ohio State, we like to talk about it. So we haven't talked about it for a long time. Well, hopefully next year. You know, when you watch sports, you know, just recently there was a big soccer going on in Argentina, and the national team, they actually played yesterday for the third spot in a cup down in Argentina. But when your team wins or loses, if you're a big sports fan, what do you like to do? You like to talk about it, right? You watch the game. You're watching the game. You like to talk about it, why the game's on. I can't believe that happened. Oh, that's wonderful. You get excited. You get mad, whatever. And when the game ends, you call other people to let them know how the game ended, especially if your team won. Now, if they lost, you're going to be like, the refs did this and the refs did that and blah, blah, blah. But the idea that I'm sharing is we like to talk about sports. Why? Because we're passionate about it. We love it. Maybe the ladies not so much, but most of the guys like to talk about sports. By the way, Argentina won yesterday. But why don't we like to talk about Christ? Because I think about sports, and I love to talk about sports. And I'm passionate about it. And it's easy. And it's fun. And we enjoy it. But why don't we enjoy talking about Christ? If everything we just studied in this passage and we really understood how great Christ is and what Paul is it's telling us here, then the natural response should be, listen to what I heard. Look at what I studied. You need to hear about Christ. We're sinners. We're far away from the Lord. We need to reconcile with Him. And you know what? Christ did it. So come and listen to Christ. Listen to what He did for us. And we should be passionate about sharing the Lord with others. Paul says in verse 28, Christ is whom we preach. Now, the word preach there is the idea of proclaiming. It's an official proclamation. Someone who speaks, it's like someone who speaks on behalf of an emperor. It's an official announcement that he's making, and he's saying, we are preaching Christ. Which Christ? Verse 15 through 23. That Christ. Christ who is God. The fullness of God is in him. We need nothing else. Because he paid for our sins on the cross, giving his life for us so that we can be reconciled to God. And that's who we preach. It's not about preaching other little things. We should always preach the Word of God, but we should preach Christ, who is the center of the Word of God. He's the one that saves lives. He's the one that takes people out of depression. He's the one who helps you grow in your spiritual life. He's the one that forgives our sins. Verse 28, the second thing, that's the subject of our ministry. The second thing is the object of our ministry. Who are we preaching Christ to? Well, look at verse 28. It says three times, it says, whom we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Who do we need to share the gospel with? Every man. You know, sometimes, and I don't know if it happens that much here, but in Argentina it happens, they're like, somebody needs to hear the gospel. Somebody needs to take the gospel to this community. They don't know the Lord. Where's the pastor? He's the one that's going to do it. I get calls all the time. I usually get WhatsApp messages. I don't know if you guys use WhatsApp or not, but I get WhatsApp messages like, so-and-so, I don't really know him, but he needs the gospel. Here's his number. Call him. And I get messages all the time like that, and I tell them, that's fine, but you know them, share the gospel with them. See, sometimes we don't want to go and share the gospel. So what do? We send a missionary, we send the pastor, we send the assistant pastor, we send the deacons. To every man. That means people here in Sandusky. That means people here in Ohio. That means people here in the United States. That means people in South America, in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. That means we are sharing the gospel with every single person needs to hear the gospel. Now, we sang a lot of songs, but one specifically that said, how are they going to hear? There's not enough pastors. And it's not even really the pastor's responsibility. It is, but it's not just his responsibility. It's every person has a responsibility to share Christ and what he did in your life. Now, some of us take this the other way. The Lord says we need to share with every man, but some of us don't go out of our circle of influence. Some of us are like, well, I don't want to take the gospel to them. They're sinners. Have you seen their lifestyle? Have you seen what they say about God? Have you seen how horrible it is that their life is? And some of us just stay in our circles, in our Christian circle, in our little influence. Every once in a while, I'll have a little influence with somebody who's unsaved, and I'll share a little thing about it. Now, Paul here is saying, we preach the gospel, and we're preaching to people that don't want to hear the gospel. You know, I don't have to go through it all, but Paul was in jail, prison. He was beaten, hungry, shipwrecked, a lot of things for the ministry of the gospel. Why did he do that? You can say, well, the Lord called him. Yes, but why did he do that? Because the Lord wanted him to share the gospel with every person. And some of us don't go across the street to talk to our neighbor because they're sinners. I was thinking about this. One of the things that I do for personal evangelism in Argentina is I play hockey, play roller hockey. I should have quit about 10 years ago, but I continue to play. I just beat up people, really. That's what I do. But I play on two teams right now, and I'll show you a few pictures in Sunday school. But one of the goals was to share the gospel on those teams. I meet with about 20, 25 men every week on both teams, and I've shared the gospel in several opportunities with both teams. And I want to tell you one thing. I have never been in a locker room that is so disgusting and sinful and just, I mean, horrible. And really, I got to pray and prepare myself every time I go into that locker room, not to play hockey, to be a witness in there. But you know what? I'm in there because I need to share the gospel with those men who would never have heard the gospel if it weren't that for the Lord sending us in there. And see, many of us ignore those opportunities. And we're like, I'm not going to go in there. Just want to tell you very quickly, and you've read it in our prayer letters, but in February, actually in September of last year, one of the guys in the hockey team, He called me and he's like, hey, I want you to marry me. I want you to marry my wife and I in February. And I was like, okay, I'll let me pray about it. First I had to see if it was okay. Now, they're both unsaved, so there's nothing against the Bible in that. And then I said to him, I will marry you if I'm allowed to preach the gospel, the Bible, I said to him, at the ceremony. You can do whatever you want. It's all yours. I'm like, okay, that's fine. I'm marrying you then. And so in February was the wedding, and there were about 150 people there. My wife wasn't even invited to the wedding, so I was the only believer in that atmosphere. I was a little nervous about it. But you know what? I got up there. I shared the gospel to them. I shared how Christ died for the church, gave his life for the church, and how the marriage is that relationship that shows how Christ loved the church. But anyways, I shared the gospel with them and had a great opportunity to preach the gospel to 150 people who I've never heard. Now, I'd like to say somebody got saved. I don't know. I didn't hear of any profession of faith. But the Lord says, preach to every man. That's what I did. But I want to tell you this. If I would have said, that locker room is horrible, I don't want to be in that atmosphere, and I don't, I really don't. But I'm not going to go across the street because they're sinful. Then you know what? That opportunity would have never come. Now, we need to be wise. You don't go into any other, you know, any horrible place and say, oh, I'm going to preach the gospel. You need to be wise about that, but you need to look for opportunities to share the gospel with every person. It says three times, every man, every man, every man. That neighbor you don't like, he needs the Lord. That boss you don't like, he needs the Lord. How are they going to hear if we don't share the gospel with them? Now, we talk about a missionary going, and we need people to go to Argentina. We have the same problem. But it starts here. Your home, your neighbor's home, your community, your job, the relationships you've built. Share Christ with those people. Because Christ is the only one that can save them from their sins. To every man. Now, what's the goal? Verse 28. He tells us three things. He says, whom we preach, and he says, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Well, he gives us three things here. He says, first of all, warning. It's the idea of admonition, of helping to set someone's mind in the proper order. Now, many times we say, well, that definitely is for the pastor. I'm not going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to warn them. Well, really, it is. The pastor must warn and help everybody, guide people. But this is something that every believer should do. We're sharing the gospel, but we should be warning others, really warning the unsaved that their life without the Lord is going to be an eternity in hell. That's what the Bible says. We should be warning them. We should be warning brothers who are not living the way they're supposed to. We should be warning them from the Word of God and admonishing them. And then he says, teaching them. There's an idea of instruction in wisdom. Now, sometimes people come and they teach you. They try to instruct you on their wisdom, their personal wisdom. That's not what it's talking about. You can get, you know, you can have people come and tell you great things, but the wisdom here is talking about the Word of God. See, so many times we instruct on the ways of life, but we don't instruct on the Word of God. And this is the guide for our life. And so Paul is saying, teach, warn everybody, teach every man according to the Word of God. For what? That we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Did you know that the purpose of your life is so that you might be perfect? Oh, I'm in trouble then. Did you know that's the goal of your life? That's the purpose of your life. Jesus Christ came, he died on the cross, he saved you from your sins so that you may be perfect. So that you may be mature, so that you may be growing in the Word of God. But the goal is perfection, full grown, spiritually mature. So many people, so many believers say, I know the Lord as my personal Savior, and then they don't grow. The goal of the gospel message, of the gospel ministry, is to hear the Word of God about Christ, share it with every person, and then that we may be perfect, mature. So I ask you today, are you perfect? The answer is going to be obviously, no, we're not perfect. We'll be perfect when we're in heaven. But are you striving to be perfect and mature and fully grown in the Word of God? It's a huge task. And how do we do it? Spending time in the Word of God. And then the fourth thing, we find that in verse 29, the enablement of our ministry. Verse 29 says, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. How do we do this ministry? Well, some people say, well, the missionary has certain personalities, he's got certain abilities that I don't have, so I can't be a missionary. Well, the pastor has certain abilities, certain personality, he's got a calling from the Lord, which is true, but I can't be a pastor. So what does that mean for me? Well, that means I'm off the hook. I don't have to do all this ministry stuff. I don't have to share the gospel. I don't have to go anywhere across the world to share the gospel. That's it. Well, we already learned that we're all involved in this ministry. So what is the difference between a pastor, a missionary, and a layperson? Really, before the Lord, there's no difference. We all have the same power that works mighty in us. It says, Paul says, whereunto I also labor. Now, Paul dedicated his life to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with the world. And we see that. We have letters all over our Bible about Paul ministering and suffering for the Lord. And when he says labor there, he's talking hard work, difficulties that we can't even imagine in our day and age. And I don't know if we'd be willing to go through those things like Paul did. But he says, striving according to his working. Now, one thing that's important here is Paul did not do it on his own. God was working through Paul. And you know what? God works through us as well. When you go and share the gospel, after you've studied the Word of God, you go and you share the gospel, the Lord is working through you. He's given you the power to do it. Oh, but they're going to reject me. The Lord's going to help you with that. So many of us are like, oh, I don't know how to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm so afraid. Paul was probably afraid at times in his life as well. He had to go back and say, I rely on God. God's going to give me the power to go through this situation. I was thinking about this, and maybe I'm outdated, but I remember when I bought my first Xbox. Yeah, I like to play sports on my Xbox, but I had to buy the Kinect. That was the one I liked for the youth group, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with that, or is it too old now? But anyways, the Kinect Xbox, you move in front of it, and it captures you on camera or whatever. I remember playing volleyball, and I went to our youth group one day, and we played video game night. And I was just standing there, and I already learned all the tricks to the thing, you know. And in volleyball, you know, that you have the other youth guy, he's standing up and jumping and trying to hit the ball. And I'm just standing there, and all of a sudden I'll go, and the guy will go, oh, and just spike it like crazy, and I'll score because I'd figured out the tricks. Well, I kind of thought about this. You know, I didn't do anything spectacular. I could have done all my efforts. It wouldn't have changed anything. But I did this little hand movement, and the ball was spiked in a tremendous way on the Xbox, right? This is even more when we're sharing the gospel. See, we go, we share the gospel. We don't have all the knowledge. We don't have all the strength on our own. But we go, we say, Lord, I'm going to go. You want me to share the gospel? I'm going to go. It might be Argentina. It might be here in Sandusky. It might be another place in the world. I'm going to go because you want me to go. I don't know how I'm going to do it. And the Lord says, come on. And he takes you. And you have no idea of the languages you got to learn and the difficulties that you're going to encounter and whatever. And the Lord grabs the gospel in the bad way that you might share it. And the Lord grabs that and he says, boom. Because it's his work. It's not our work. And he uses that to reach the gospel, to reach the people of the world with the gospel. See, we're not doing this alone. I'm so glad that the Lord gives us the might to do it. Because if not, I would have quit as a missionary years ago. Probably would have never started. I believe pastor would feel the same way about being a pastor or being in ministry. You'd probably feel the same way about living the Christian life because sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard, but God gives us the power. We have the Holy Spirit in us that enables us to do the ministry. And Paul says here, he worketh in me mightily. Paul relied on the work of the Holy Spirit in his life. Paul, you know, went to jail, charges that had no truth. He suffered. He endured beating, stoning. Friends abandoned him. The Jews wanted to destroy him. The Romans didn't like him. They wanted to kill him. And eventually he lost his life for the Lord. Why did he do that? How did he do that? Well, he was the Apostle Paul. No, you know how he did it? Because he had the power of the Lord as he was sharing the ministry of Christ, of the gospel. So what does that mean for you and me? That means that we can do the same things the Apostle Paul did because we have the same power. So if you're sitting here today and you're like, well, I'm really happy about the gospel ministry because I'm saved through it, right? It doesn't stop there. Are you sharing the gospel with the unsaved? Across the street, in your neighborhood. Are you willing to go across the seas to share the gospel? How are they going to hear if we don't go and take them the gospel? How are they going to do that? Paul says, we preach Christ, we warn every man, we teach every man with the goal of being perfect before the Lord, and we do it with the strength that the Lord gives us. We have the same strength. We have the same ministry. So the question is this: are you involved in the ministry? It's not pastors, deacons, or missionaries. It's every single one of us. Are you involved in the gospel ministry? We have room for you in Argentina. But this doesn't just start when you go as a missionary. It starts in your home across the street, and we've already said all that. So, first of all, are you saved? Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, then you're not reconciled with God. That means you're separated from God. And the Bible talks about a hell, and it talks about a separation for all eternity. And it doesn't matter how many good works you do. It doesn't matter if you tithe. It doesn't matter if you just attend church. Those things do not save you. The only thing that can save you is believing on what Christ did on the cross for your sins. So if you're here and you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, then you need to believe today. Today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. So put your trust in Jesus Christ. If you are saved, if you do know the Lord as your personal Savior, are you sharing the gospel with the unsaved? Every person that you know and that you don't know, get to know them. Share the gospel with them. Are you warning others? Are you teaching others? Are you working at being perfect through the Word of God? And then finally, do you know that you rely on the power of the Lord? It's so wonderful, really, when I think about what the Lord, the power that He has is, you know, we don't even understand all of it. We don't fathom how powerful God is. And yet that power works mightily in our lives. So we need to share the gospel ministry with the unsaved. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You this morning. First of all, we thank You for Christ. We thank You that He gave His life for our sins. Lord, He didn't have to do that. He is fully God. He didn't need us, but yet He died on the cross for our sins. Lord, we do thank You for the salvation that we can have through believing in Christ. Lord, we pray now that it won't be just being saved in our lives, but that we will have a desire, that we will understand that we need to share the gospel with others. Every person needs to hear the gospel. Lord, I pray that You will have people from this congregation be challenged and say, I'm going to share the gospel with a lost world. And Lord, that our goal might be to be perfect, mature before You, people that live by the Word, that share the Word of God with others, and that glorify Your name together. And Lord, we thank You because we don't rely on our own flesh. We don't rely on our own strength. We rely on the strength of the Lord. Lord, help us to be men and women that share the gospel, no matter what the consequences, relying on Your power. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We would invite your written response to God's Word on that card you used to put your name on. While we sing the song and after we dismiss today, we'd love for you to write a comment about your response to the Lord today, or if we could be of benefit to you as you respond to the Lord, text or email or drop by the office this week. We'd love to follow through today and in the coming days about what it means to live out Colossians 1 truth. Let's allow that to saturate and soak into our lives and into our church and our response to it. Let's stand together, please. Missionary speaker with us that we support, we'll give you an opportunity with a special envelope that's right there in the pew in front of you to share in a financial gift to continue to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to themselves and the work that they do and to enable them in that work. Part of the way we enable them and are on their support team is in our regular monthly giving to them and to all of the other missionaries and ministries that we support. And in a special way, if you'd like to join us in blessing the selves today with a special gift, consider that as you are dismissed from the service today. Remember, we'll stay, most of us here in the auditorium, for a time of seeing some pictures and other things, reporting on the work that the Lord has called the selves to do in conjunction with his mom and dad and the extended family there in ministry. It's really a wonderful story of how the Lord is using them there in Buenos Aires. So let's pray and let's give and let's take interest in all the details, and it makes today a special and unique day for us. We're delighted in that here in the middle of the summer. Thank you, Lord, for the ministry you've called the selves to. And we recognize from Colossians chapter 1, we're all, as believers, called to the ministry of sharing the gospel after it has impact in our own lives to make us mature, living out the truths of your word. Then give us, from that platform, the opportunity to share the gospel with our friends and family, with those that we know and those that we don't know through missionary work around the world. This same gospel, Lord, use it to impact everyone in this world. We know that you so loved the world that you, Lord, you gave your only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior. And we want to share that in tangible ways. I thank you for the selves who help us, assist us in doing that around the world. May you enable us and the power of the Holy Spirit that we would carry that out personally in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.